Several years ago, I found myself buckling myself into my seat as the big commercial jet airliner that I was in was taxiing out onto the runway at the airport. The man sitting next to me was probably my age, a cheerful, healthy-looking guy with a sporty blazer and a sharp tie. A few minutes later, as the jet's engines began to rev to get us going out onto the runway to get in line to take off, he turned to me and said, "Well, if it's the end of the world and this thing falls out of the sky, I'm not worried. I got my bags packed and I'm ready to go to heaven." Wow. So he sat there beaming at me broadly, waiting for me to say something. But what he had said with a kind of exuberant cheerfulness and excitement that left me not really sure what I was supposed to say. So I just sort of sat there, sort of smiling. Eventually, he gave up on me and just turned away. It was a great big jet, and there were two aisles, so I had a good view of those sitting nearby. Just across the aisle was a mom, I would guess, and she was buckling her 3 or 4 year old daughter into her seat and brushing back the bangs from her little girl's face and was leaning in, speaking reassuringly to her. This little girl's eyeballs were about this big as those big engines revved. Nearby them was an older couple, their two hands clasped together and perched on the armrest between them. And his head was laid back and his eyes were closed, and she stole a glance at him. And then a smile came across her face at something remembered about him and them. In another seat was a man scanning an Excel spreadsheet on his laptop screen and then scrunching his face up, thinking of something, and these little worry lines creeping across his forehead. I thought, what was he thinking of? Was this some especially important presentation that mattered greatly, professionally and personally? The hope to get home soon and get off the road and see his wife and his kids for a few days? And right at hand were two young people, maybe college kids, dressed, you could say, pretty eccentrically, tapping away at their phones, and then one of them said something to the other in this strange made-up accent, and then they both exploded into laughter. And up front, I could see the two flight attendants sharing something funny, and then one of them shushing the other. And then the shushed one momentarily looked worried, as if maybe she'd said something wrong, until the other attendant reached out her hand and took her forearm and held it. And next to me was the man, just a man, whose faith was real and heartfelt, I am sure, smiling broadly, contented by the prospect that if today was the end of the world and the plane fell out of the sky, he at least would be snatched straight to heaven. And I wondered, didn't he see these people around him? His fellow passengers? The people around us with their lives and their people and their stories and their cares, and their worries, and their hopes, their lives. And if he did, what did he make of them falling from the sky, and the terror of that, and the shudder of such a violent ending to all of it? We all of us hope to be spared the experience of life going so terribly wrong, like when it feels as if life itself has fallen out beneath us. Maybe that's what this man's faith in the seat next to him gave him, that made the glories and the tragedies and the boredom and the unexpected joys of his life and the uncertainty of what might come next, maybe that made sense of all of that for him. And I wouldn't begrudge him that. Because what Jesus speaks of in this morning's gospel reading, from the experience of the cosmos losing their bearings and spiraling wildly out of order, to the nearer horror of endless wars, or the natural world convulsing around us in storms and fires, to another school shooting, all the way down to our own relationships, to those nearer to us that sometimes are fractured. All these things we people know so well, and not just as some strange apocalyptic vision. We have known them, and we are here still. And maybe now is a time of relative peace and calm in your life. Please, God, let that be so. But gazing down the road a bit, we too sigh, Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, for what may come. Jesus' words of calamity, piling up on calamity at the end of all things, are dramatic. But don't we, even before that, sometimes get the existential willies about what is to come of our lives? Please, Lord, please don't let the worst happen. Please don't let the stars of my life fall. Please keep the ground firm beneath my feet. Keep us safe. Keep us from all harm and hurt. Me, the ones I love, the ones I know. And while you're at it, Lord, even the ones I don't know, strangers. Like the older couple hand in hand, or the flight attendant up front, or the man in the seat next to me that day, please don't let the fear of something awful coming steal our present hope that there is deep meaning in the goodness of life itself and in the life you give. As much as we may worry about our own lives and what awaits us and what will become of us and the ones we love, I think that the words of Jesus are a call for those who would follow him to keep hope and faith alive for more than just our own sakes. Frankly, I have never been able to understand how a follower of Jesus could think joyfully about some version of the end of the world and how they will be snatched out of the air and whisked away and out of the maelstrom straight into heaven without a word of care for what happens to others, for the passengers we all travel with. All right, that lacks charity, I confess. But the church has a higher call to a more life-giving word for the sake of the world that we are told God loves. And that is this: the church, Christ's own living body, you, in this world, live by the hope of faith that at the end of our days and at the end of all days, even if the stars should fall and the earth convulse as in childbirth, past the calamity of this present age is the goodness of God. Calamity will pass away. God's goodness to heal and mend and restore and redeem to glorious life, the life he has given, is everlasting. Hear the prophet Isaiah proclaiming God's word of hope. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall pass away and not come to mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard or the cry of distress. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Our call is to live by hope even now, and especially to live from love and not from fear. To keep alive for the health of our own souls, yes, but especially for the sake of this world and for those who are our fellow passengers now. The man far from home, the poor woman wondering if she has once again done something wrong, the child whose fear makes her feel like she is falling, the older couple grateful for one more day together, these kids reveling in their conviction that they are different than all the rest of us, and the man in the sporty blazer and smart tie, just looking for someone to encourage his faith. Do not be afraid are the words of the one we follow, to live from love and not from fear. That is our witness to give. This is your opportunity to testify to this world, a joyful privilege given by our Heavenly Father, who was and is and ever shall be the giver of all goodness. Amen.